RNZ Pacific News, hello keta, nem blong me, Lydia Lewis. The election of the new Prime Minister of Solomon Islands is being conducted behind closed doors. There's a high security presence at Parliament and on the streets of the capital, Honiara. Kuroi Hawkins has been covering the election.
Elected MPs vote for the Prime Minister via secret ballot, and it is presided over by the Governor-General. The two Prime Ministerial candidates are former Foreign Affairs Minister Jeremiah Manele, fronting a coalition which is representative of the incumbent government, and former opposition leader Matthew Wale, heading a four-party coalition campaigning for change. The result of the prime ministerial election will be announced as soon as the process is completed. Traditionally, this has usually been around midday local time.
Fiji's Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance admits the country's human trafficking unit has been neglected. The government has set aside 10,000 Fijian dollars a year for the past 3 years, a figure survivor advocates say is a drop in the bucket. Biman Prasad blames low funding allocation inherited by the previous government, and he's promised a cash injection now.
Of course, you know, we will be providing adequate funding, and which means more than what was there. We will make sure that there are adequate resources, and we'll be working with our international partners, including New Zealand, Australia.
Mr. Prasad says he cannot say how much will be set aside until the July budget release. The slump in the Japanese tourism market is seen as the key reason for one of the two main hotels on the Northern Marianas Island of Saipan shutting its doors. The Hyatt Regency, which has operated on the island for 43 years, will close next month amid occupancy rates of just 30%. It's understood about 130 staff will lose their jobs. The Governor, Arnold Palacios, called the closure disappointing and saddening. RNZ Pacific correspondent on Saipan, Mark Rabago, says the owners were Japanese and the hotel has geared itself to serve the Japanese market. He says tourism has dropped off and getting those tourists back has proved very difficult, not least because of the soaring dollar relative to the yen.
At the same time, the Japanese government has an internal program right now where they are encouraging their people to travel around the country instead of outside. Also, we are competing against other on sand and beach tourist spots like Vietnam, the Philippines, Bali in Indonesia, and even Guam in Hawaii, so it's really hard.
Guam now has a direct link to Japan following the launch of a new flight. A United Airlines spokesperson says the first Guam to Haneda flight departed overnight and is expected to provide much-needed boost to Japanese visitor arrivals. Haneda Airport in the Tokyo metropolitan area has a population of more than 37 million. The Pacific Daily News reports the airline plans to operate 7 flights a week between Tokyo, Haneda and Guam using Boeing 737 aircraft, which has room for 166 customers, including 16 business class seats. A commentator says the public in Tonga want to know why two key cabinet posts remain unfilled. The drama began in early February when King Tupou VI let it be known he was not happy with the cabinet appointments to the defence and foreign affairs portfolios. The palace wanted these roles filled by people of the king's choosing. Prime Minister Huakawa Meiliku Siosi Soveleni, who was defence minister, and Fekitao Utoikamanu, who was foreign minister, relinquished those roles in March. But the posts remain unfilled by the palace. RNZ Pacific correspondent in Tonga, Kalafi Mwala, says people are raising questions, particularly after the Prime Minister and King met. But Huakawa Meiliku says he could not reveal the content of what was discussed.
There are a lot of unanswered questions, but that's where the public is being reacting to. How can you call it a private conversation when the meeting is between two of the most public people in Tonga and the details are not revealed up to this day?
The Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha'apai volcanic eruption in Tonga continues to generate research 2 years after its violent outburst. An international team will travel to the volcano this month to gather evidence that suggests an alternative mechanism triggered the January 15, 2022 eruption. GNS Science Principal Scientist Colonel Deron told Pacific Waves the research aims to understand why and how these volcanoes erupt so violently compared to other eruptions around the world.
If we do have a better understanding of that, perhaps we can make the local Tongan community and any community around the circum-Pacific region more resilient to these possible types of eruptions, or at least they are aware of them, and that could help them in terms of how they prepare for emergency situations.
Tsunami waves generated by the eruption killed three people and resulted in damage to thousands of homes and infrastructure in the kingdom. New Zealand's Foreign Affairs Minister says he's still investigating what AUKUS Pillar 2 would mean for the Pacific region. Last night, Winston Peters spoke about the multinational military alliance at Parliament event in Wellington. The pact was first looked into under the previous Labour government, and those investigations have continued under the coalition. Mr. Peters told RNZ's Morning Report it's too soon to rule out the security pact because details are still emerging.
It could be a whole lot of humanitarian causes that we've got to be benefiting from. We just don't know, but the world's moving on fast. It's not Buck Rogers in the 25th century, but look, there are new exciting things which can help humanity. That's our point.
In world news, arrests have been made at more American university campuses as tensions over the war in Gaza continue to escalate. Here's the ABC's Jade McMillan.
Police have taken protesters into custody at universities in Wisconsin and Arizona, hours after dramatic scenes unfolded in New York and California. Classes have been cancelled at the University of California, Los Angeles, following violent clashes as pro-Israeli counter-protesters tried to take down a pro-Palestinian encampment. While police in New York City, who were called in to remove students who'd barricaded themselves inside a Columbia University building, say they arrested nearly 300 people at the campus and nearby City College.
In sport, the Northern Marianas Badminton Association has won an award from the World Federation. The association has won the Badminton World Federation Member Association Participation Award during a recent ceremony in China. The accolade was for its Interscholastic Badminton League program that was first introduced in the islands in 2021. Vanuatu football star Brian Kaltak has won his second consecutive Coaches Player of the Year award with the Central Coast Mariners. The club says the player is not only a fan favourite but a coach favourite as well. It says Kaltak is another ever-present in the team this season, contributing massively with his interceptions, towering headers and brave blocks. He has scored 4 goals this year, 2 in the A-League and 2 in the AFC Cup. The Mariners won the Premier Plate for finishing top of the regular season. And Black Ferns halfback Iritana Hohaia feels she's ready to step out of the shadow of her veteran predecessor. Hohaia, who was named in the squad for the Pacific 4 series, which starts next weekend against the US in Hamilton, New Zealand, has taken over the number 9 jersey from Kendra Coxage, the Ferns' most experienced test player in history.
I think my main focus is continuing to build on from last year, just still growing as a player, getting better each time and making sure I'm learning something that I can continue to add to the jersey.
And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.